Well, good morning, everybody. We're excited to have you here with us. If you're able, let's stand to our feet and praise the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. The Bible says that we will rejoice in him and be glad. And we are excited to rejoice with you this morning.
In the valley, for every burden you lifted with ease, we are gathered with great expectations. Lord, we believe you never cease to amaze us. All of the praises, Lord, they belong to you. Jesus, receive all the glory. Take all the credit, what you're about to do. Every good thing comes from you. For every season you showed us your sign. For every trial that taught us to trust. We are standing right here in your presence. You stand with us. You never cease to amaze us. All of the praises, Lord, they belong to you. Jesus, receive all the glory. Take all the credit. What you're about to do. Every good thing comes from you. Every good thing comes from you. Every good thing. Whoa. Every good thing. All of the praises, Lord, they belong to you. Jesus, receive all the glory. Take all the credit for what you're about to do. You never cease to amaze us. All of the praises, Lord, they belong to you. Jesus, receive all the glory. Take all the you're about to do. Every good thing, every good thing comes from you. Every good thing comes from you. Every good thing. Whoa.
giants fall, for fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side, forever lift him high. With all creation cry, God, we praise you. The giants fall, for fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side, forever lift him high. With all creation cry, God, we praise you. Oh, 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 oh. We praise.
Continue just to move on our behalf, that you would break chains that only you can break, Father, that you would open up doors that only you can open, Lord, that we would be faithful to you, knowing that you have always been faithful to us. I pray, God, that we would just build our foundation on the only thing that is firm, the only thing that is sure. We give you all of our attention this morning.
You keep reminding me my heart is holy ground, where you are pleased to be. I'm starting to see it now, and I hear the Father say, you're my beloved one, and nothing can prize away. A covenant built on love, when I feel like ruins, you see foundations. You see foundations to build your kingdom here. Stop second guessing. Even when failures come, redemption is watching through. You're the God who makes weak things strong. When I feel like ruins, you see foundations. You see foundations to build your kingdom here. When I feel like ruins, you see foundations. You see foundations to build your kingdom Joe. feel like ruins. You see foundations. You see foundations to build your kingdom here.
Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? 'Cause shame's done all its stealing, and you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love's strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Jesus, change your life. Hallelujah. Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Who can wipe away the tears and broken dreams and wasted years? Tell the past to disappear. Oh, let me tell you about my Jesus, and all the wrongs that you were going on to if you could. Who can work it all for your good? Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. About me, let me tell you about my Jesus. Oh, he makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is
good. Any need you have, he can meet it. Any single thing that you need, because I know that he is Jehovah Jireh, God, my provider. And he's not a respecter of persons, right? So anything he will do for me, he will do for you. And in the Bible, there's so many times he provided financially. He provided for people's health. He provided for their welfare. He gave them a place to lay their head. He gave them food when they had nothing to eat. And so whatever your need may be today, know that you have found the answer in Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Well, we're glad to have you here with us today. If you would, just go around and greet some of your family of faith this morning.
Well, amen, everybody. Live streamers, wherever you're watching from, it's good to have you. Time to take up our tithe and offering this morning, our giving. So if you have something to give, there's offering envelopes and chairs in front of you. If you don't see one there, wave your hand around. One of the ushers will help you out. The ushers also have these prayer cards, so if you have a prayer need, please ask for a prayer card. Fill it out. You don't have to put your name on it, but fill it out. And as always, by the way, tomorrow, as every week, is Monday church-wide prayer right here from 6 to 7 p.m. So they pray over these prayer cards every Monday, and certainly I do in my personal time also. So if you have a prayer need, ask for a prayer card. And we certainly want to join with you in faith for the things that you are praying about in your life. But your giving, by the way, is important to us. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for being dedicated to the church. And that we believe that what comes into the church, God uses far and above anything that we could think he could do with it. Because that's how the kingdom works. We do what we're supposed to do, then God does everything we can't. We partner with what God is doing. So whenever money comes into church, we pray good stewardship over it, wisdom with what we do with it. But then God, then in the working and the advancing of the kingdom, does far and above that we can understand what happens with what you guys do when you play your part in things like giving and serving and all these different things that we do as a church together. Amen? All right, so let me pray over your giving. If you have something, you can bring it down to these baskets. Lord, we thank you to be able to gather together today, to come together in your house, to worship together, to be with you, Lord, because everything we do today, it is to honor you and to glorify you. That includes our giving. And as we have separated out the first 10% that comes in to increase the tithe and things that you placed in our heart above that in our offerings, Lord, that it is holy to you, but we trust you that as we step out in faith and give like this, that you prove yourself faithful in providing for us in all things, Lord, that you provide seed to the sower. We are sowers, Lord, because we believe not only that you provide, but then you go above and beyond with what comes in. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, we all say amen. Amen. You can bring it down if you have something.
Well, good morning. We're excited to have you guys here with us. If you're new here, we would love to get to know you a little better. And there is a get to know you card right in front of the chair. If you want to fill that out and give it to Kelly right here with the baby. If you're here this morning, we believe you're here on purpose. Amen. And there is a spot for you here. And we're just excited. We want to pray for you. So get your name on there. And there's also one of these, and it just has some information about our church and how we got here and why we're here. Also, we have small groups going on right now, and there is a list in the back, and we want you to be a part of those small groups. I know that ours has been very good. We're learning about Gideon, and just get connected. This is a place where you can make family that's going to last and be there for you and pray for you and war with you. So if you're not part of a small group, I just encourage you to get some information and get a part.
Samara, by the way, speaking of guests, we see this whole entire section over here. They're guests in our house today. They're actually a group from our sister church, the Botkins Campus, and they're a motorcycle group that rides around, and they're going somewhere. I think some of our guys are going with them after church today. I've known some of these people for a very long time. And although they look very scary, I'm kidding, they're not. They're not scary. No, they're wonderful, wonderful people that some of them I've knew from the very first time we came to the Botkins Church, which was 20-some years ago. So we're excited to have you. Thanks for coming and checking us out today. So get to know them after church today a little bit. Thanks for coming. All right, some announcements on top of some things Samara said. Today at 5:30, Youth Hangout, 5th to 12th grade. We're going to have a fall fest out front here in the front yard. So 5th to 12th grade, 5:30, be here for that. Invite some friends. And what time is it over, parents? 7 to 7:30. So that's happening tonight for 5th to 12th grade. And also this Wednesday during church is our Wednesday Youth Hangout for 5th to 12th grade. So make sure they're here for that. Next Sunday, we have Next Steps. Okay, so if you have questions about Next Steps, see Samara, and we have some people that are ready to jump in to a deeper level into the church. That's for you. And so if you have questions about that, you can see Margaret or Samara. And there is a ladies' fall event coming up. And what do you know what day it is? I just want to throw this out there. I think it's the last Friday of the month at 6:30 here at the church. We'll have more details starting Wednesday. But for all the ladies in the house, ladies, wave your hand. Yeah, we like you. All right, just so you know. So we have an event for you, but it'd be kind of a bonfire, chili, whatever you guys want to do. So Margaret will tell you more about it Wednesday and Sunday. And obviously, we're in October. That means we have to talk about Christmas. Christmas shoe boxes, which are already happening. The due date on the Christmas shoe boxes with Samaritan's Purse is due November the 17th. If you have questions about it, Patsy, wave your hand around. She's got all the details, so you can go see her, okay? And last but not least, just to let you know, Kids Church this month, their memory verse is Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is in your midst, the mighty one who will save, and he will rejoice over you with gladness. And they're learning about Rahab, Gideon, Ruth, and David and Goliath. So parents, you can pick up your newsletter in the basement when you pick up your kids today, so you know what's going on in Kids Church this month. Amen. Amen. All right, let's get our Bibles out. Let's jump into Word together today. And I'm excited to spend some time with you in the Scriptures this morning. I'm looking forward to Fall Fest tonight with the kids, though. It's going to be a good time, so make sure your young person is there for that. Invite some friends out. I want to talk to you today about the thorn in your flesh, because you may have one. And I want to talk to you scripturally about what to do if you happen to have one there. And I understand, listen, I understand that the last thing we want is a thorn in our flesh. But yet, you may find one in the course of your life, or may have had one, or may have one in the future. And there's something I feel that's encouraging in the Scriptures about that. So I want to talk to you about it. But I want to start in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 11. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. Again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 11. It says this. This is Paul writing. For you know how, like a father is with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Now, the reason I read that to you is because I want you to know that part of our goal here as a church is to fulfill that which Paul is writing to those in the Thessalonian church. That we want to exhort you, we want to consistently encourage you, and certainly we want to charge you to walk in a manner that is worthy of the Lord, because God is calling you into his kingdom. And a song we were singing, listen, that song is so true. I love that song because you can look in the mirror and feel like you see a mess. I mean, I know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking physically. I'm talking life. And as the song said, you can feel like ruins. But you know what God sees? He sees the foundations of the capability to build his kingdom there. Where? Here. And I want to encourage you today that if you feel like your life is a mess, there's ruins, maybe because of things in the past or things currently happening, that God, listen to me, God is the master of taking a mess and building something beautiful there. That's what he does. He is the only one. You can read all the self-help books in the world. I don't necessarily think there's much wrong with them. But God is actually the only one who can forgive you of your sins and build something beautiful where there is currently a mess. And when it comes to those of you that have a thorn in your flesh, we'll get to that in a minute, and it just seems like it simply persists. Okay. God is able to build his kingdom there. And you have to find, first of all, comfort. Because that's who God is and what he does. And you have to be encouraged. That in spite of your current circumstance or the mess that you see, that God is bigger and he is greater. And listen to me, he is absolutely, positively able to build right there. Listen to me. I believe that so much, that's why I'm standing here today. Because if I didn't believe that, I would not do what I'm doing. Because I would just give up on everybody, including myself. It's just empty words. But I believe in you because I believe in a God who can do those things. And I've been doing this long enough to know that I've come across some people that are absolute messes. In it, I'm talking the true sense of the word. But I've seen some wonderful things that God can do. I've seen some amazing things that God can do. And I want you to be, if nothing else, if you tune me out for the next 20-some minutes, leave encouraged today. Because how many of you know that God is with you? Is he not? Now, if God is with you, do you know God is for you? He's on your side. He's not against you. Now, you can do some things that are against him, and he's got to deal with that stuff, but he's not against you. He's for you. And the Bible says if you love him, that he's working for your good. My goodness. The God of all things is working for your good. So anything's possible if you simply what? Believe. Be encouraged today. That wherever you find yourself, God is absolutely able. You believe that? Okay, good. Well, let's get to this thing about the thorn in the flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians 12, and we're going to start in verse number 1. So as you turn there, Paul writes this letter to the church in Corinth. And it's, by the way, we have in our Bibles 1 and 2 Corinthians. They would say these are not the only letters that pass back and forth between Paul and the church in Corinth. There's some things that are written in these letters that suggest that there was more correspondence happening, including visits from Paul. So Paul, in writing this letter, he finds himself kind of coming against false apostles that have come into the church, things they were teaching. But also, he finds himself having to defend his ministry and defend himself in what God is doing through him. Yes, Paul is an apostle. And it seems like those that have filtered into the church in Corinth were doing things that weren't good, but then were telling people, don't listen to Paul. So Paul finds himself in this letter sort of defending himself. So 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1, we pick up in the midst of Paul doing this. And Paul says, I must go on boasting, though there's nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. Verse 2, he says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know, but God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, but God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which a man may not utter. And on behalf of this man, I will boast, but on behalf of my own behalf, I will not boast except in my weakness. Though I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. Now, many people think that Paul is talking about this guy. That's actually Paul himself. He's recounting that he himself was caught up into the heavenlies. And it seems to be that maybe the false apostles that were coming into the Corinthian church, they were boasting revelations and visions and all these different things. And Paul is saying, look, I know somebody has those things too. And it goes on to show what we're about to read here, that probably was Paul himself. He was just talking about himself kind of in the third person. So verse 7, and this is why we picked that up. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of these revelations, that's why we think what we just read was Paul, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. That's interesting. Now watch what he says. Three times I pleaded with the Lord Jesus, about this, that it should leave me. But watch what Paul writes here. This is what he said to me. And if you have a Bible that has red letters where Jesus talked, this is red letters right here. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. My goodness, you think about that. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content. Watch this. I am content. That word content. Content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So Paul describes this great revelation of being caught up into the heavenlies. But then he, almost as a contrast, he actually discloses that he has a thorn in the flesh. That he says in writing there, I have this to keep me from being prideful. Now, you think about this. Paul is defending himself as worthy as an apostle and the work that he has done among the Corinthian church. Instead of boasting beyond this great revelation he has seen, he actually then, to prove himself, boasts of a weakness. Now, that seems not like a smart thing to do. If you want to appear strong to somebody, the last thing you would do is disclose that you have an issue. But Paul is being just really honest here. And he has this, what he calls a thorn in his flesh. By the way, in the thorn in the flesh, there's a lot of suggestions on what that may be. Lots of stuff out there. The biggest consensus is some sort of disease or sickness in his body. And he actually calls it a messenger of Satan. Now, not all sickness is a messenger of Satan in a demonic attack, but it can be. But all sickness has its root in sin in the world. Amen? But this is specifically something from the enemy. And you notice there, Paul says, and he counted it three times, I went to the Lord and said, will you take this from me? And he didn't. Now, you think about this. Paul the apostle, the great vision of Jesus when he's on the road to Damascus, knocks him off the donkey. He's blinded. He's called into the missionary work when he meets whoever he was, and the scales fall off his eyes. And he, from then on, his life is full of the miraculous signs and wonders. The story and acts of this little girl that was possessed by a demon followed him around for days. Finally, he got sick of it and cast the demon out of this girl. He's done amazing things for the work of Jesus. But yet the same guy finds himself with a thorn in his flesh, maybe a sickness, that he's asked the Lord to take from him and did not. And Paul, being in wisdom that he has, says, but let me tell you about this. This is what Jesus told me, red letter stuff. Look, my grace with this thorn in your flesh is sufficient. As a matter of fact, my power is made perfect in weakness. Amen. Now, listen, I want to tell you something. I don't think we like to hear this. Because what we want to hear is, well, if his grace is sufficient, his power is made perfect in weakness, why didn't he take the thorn away? I want you to see something. Christian, if you'll throw that first slide up for me, please. See, it is in these places, the thorn in your flesh, that you have the opportunity to look to God and look to him alone. That there is a time of your life, and you should be looking to him alone at all times, But when things are coming your way that you would think are a thorn in my flesh, it brings a focus in your life to look to him and him alone. And in that, you will discover his grace and his power to sustain. Now, here's one thing about the Christian life that I want to reemphasize to you, and I tell you this quite a bit. The Christian life was never promised to be perfect after you get saved. Amen. That you will not encounter struggle and trial and issues and attacks of the enemy, whatever you want to say. Even to the point that you may end up with a thorn in your flesh that you plead with the Lord to take away, and it hasn't happened just yet. Now, see, I've come across people that promise that it is going to be perfect and that everything you face is just snap taken away. And those kind of people leave behind them a wake of people who end up disappointed, confused, unsure of their faith, and things like that. Because I have yet to encounter anybody saved yesterday or saved 10 years ago that doesn't encounter things in their life. And just because you encounter it doesn't mean that God always responds and just snaps it away. It's just kind of like if you're sitting at your desk at home, and you ever see the commercials, it was a little while ago, but those big red easy buttons, say easy on it. Well, I'm feeling a little trouble. Bam, easy button, and God just snaps it away. You know what I'm saying? I just feel like there's something going on. Bam, easy button, and it just disappears. You know what I'm talking about? It doesn't work that way. The reality of life is we're working in a kingdom that is working itself out. But it's not here in finality yet. As a matter of fact, if you go back, you don't have to go there, Christian. I'll just leave that slide up. I'll go back to verse 10 of what we just read. Watch Paul. Paul, again, called into the mission field with the word of the Lord. Incredible things happening. Turning the Gentile world upside down for Jesus. All of the churches and groups of people that are planted because of his missionary work. In the midst of it, verse 10, weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. That's what Paul was enduring. Watch me. While being right smack dab in the middle of the will of God in his life. And it didn't make his life perfect. With the big old easy button. It just snapped everything away. And I think sometimes we find believers get very discouraged. Very discouraged. On the verge of giving up. Because certain things in life aren't simply easy. You see what I'm getting at? Now, what I love about Paul, he didn't say, and there was a thorn in my flesh, and I pleaded with the Lord 3 times for him to take it away, and he didn't, and now I'm mad. I guess prayer doesn't work. I guess his whole faith in Jesus is useless. He actually heard a direct word from the Lord. He flips it and says, yeah, you know, the storm's still here, but what I heard is my grace is sufficient for you. It's actually in your weakness where my power actually shows up to sustain you. This is a great lesson because it's in these moments, seasons, where you're able to hone in and focus on Him and Him alone. And in this time, you will discover Him in different ways. You'll discover Him kind of afresh and anew. Maybe wrestle with Him a little bit about some stuff. But all the while knowing that a weakness, and by the way, we're not talking about sin in a way that sin can abide. I'm not saying that. Outside of sin, just struggles we go through. That God is with you. And He's for you. And though it doesn't seem like it, maybe He's working for your good. And His power is made perfect because you keep going despite of the thorn. And you don't give up. And you don't let discouragement overwhelm you. And you don't get distracted from the callings of life because of what you're going through. That you don't forget that He has you. Do you know how many people I've come across in the church when there seems to be a thorn that persists, they get mad at God? They start to fall away from Him. Start to question their faith. Quit coming to church. They quit fighting the fight. Now we don't know. It could have been after the letter that God took the thorn from Paul. We don't know. It doesn't say. We don't know if this persisted until he was martyred later for his faith. We don't know. It doesn't say. We would like to make the good assumption that after Paul wrote the letter, God said, "You made the point," and he took the thorn. I don't know. That's the good assumption, but we don't know. But what I know is this. Is if the thorn persisted for Paul, again, this great man of faith, through the rest of his days, we know that he stayed true to his calling and the faith of Jesus to the end. This thorn did not take it from him. Right? Christian, if you'll throw that second slide up, please. See, thorns that you have in life. If you pray and God takes it, amen, because he does do those things. But if he does not, and if it's still with you right now, he will sustain you. His grace is sufficient. His power is made perfect in that weakness so you can keep going. Right? Paul actually says that he delights in these sort of things. That he is content. Content. Contentment is resting into something and feeling peace there anyways. And Paul, instead of making this big list of all the great things that he did, he just boasts in his weaknesses, and he boasts through all the hardships he went through. As this is the proof that I am an apostle of Jesus. Life just simply wasn't easy, but yet here I am today. You see that? He would rather boast in these weaknesses. See, the great revelation as we are living in this now and not yet time of the kingdom coming is that, yes, we will experience these wonderful revelations of the heavenlies like Paul wrote about, but yet at the same time, for some reason, we'll still have a thorn in the flesh in the midst of it. You see that? But discovering God in new ways, sustaining ways, in these trials. Now here's the thing, look. I pray the blessing of God. I pray the favor of God over myself. I do. I pray it over my family. I pray it over this church. I believe wholeheartedly, 110%, that we have a God who hears our prayers and responds. I believe we cast our cares upon him. I believe in him that all things are possible. I believe fully the word of the Lord has come forth for our church not long ago, that we are in seasons of breakthrough, that some of you are going to be in times of finally something broke through in this thing I've been praying about for so long. Yes and amen. But I believe that all the while knowing that in the scriptures, we have people who are doing what God asked of them, and they still face trial. They still went through things. And life simply wasn't easy. But to discover the truth that, yes, his grace is sufficient for you today. And, yes, his power is made perfect in the very weakness and trial that you wish would go away. And if you can grab hold of that, instead of getting mad and frustrated and on the verge of giving up and quitting and complaining about God and all the different things that we do, it's almost like Job. This story is way in the future from Job. Remember Job? Holy smokes. This guy lost it all, except his nagging wife. The only thing God left him. Poor Job. She didn't even say, just give up. What an encouragement she was. Don't do that to your spouse. And Job contended with God about it. Then he had friends come in, and they're saying, well, the whole reason you're going through this, you must be unrighteous. You ever get around people like that? You go through a trial, and they want to tell you what's wrong with you. That's why you're going through it. Could be something, but not with Job. And he contended with God about it. I don't understand why everything that happened to me, even though I've been righteous before you. It's not fair. It's not right. And finally, after a lot of chapters, if you read through Job, it's a long book. Finally, God responds. And basically what he says is, hey, Job, yeah? Were you there when I formed the foundations of this world? Were you there when I put the fish in the sea and I planted the trees on the ground? Were you there when I made the mountains? Were you there when I did all that? Nope. Okay, son. Just stay with it. I've got you. And you know that God blessed Job more than he had before? Now, there's a little thing that goes with that. You know, Job lost all his children. Then he had more children. But the whole point is new children can't replace old children, if you know what I mean. You can lose a child and have another one, you still lost a child. So even though God blessed Job more, there were still the scars from the past there. And he had to keep trusting God. That through the things in life that seem simply unfair, his grace is sufficient for you. His power is made perfect in our weakness. And that's the encouragement today. If you could take a piece of paper and you write down, since you've been a Christian, that all the stuff that happened to you before you were saved, you deserved it. You reap what you sow. Not really. There's some things that happened to you that are so not fair. But if you could think of all the things in your life since you've been saved, before you were saved, and just write down all the stuff that you think was not fair, the things that you went through, that thing at the bottom you may be going through. You can make a list of things you simply don't understand. Take that list to him. You ever read the Psalms? It's okay to take your list and complain. Say, look, I don't get this. And be honest. But then let him say, okay, give me your list. And he may put it in his back pocket and never even address it, like Job. He never gave Job a reason. He didn't give Paul a reason. Paul assumed I had this thorn, so I'm not conceited of the great revelations I saw. That's what he thinks. But he didn't say God told him that. That's his assumption. God, take your list from you and say, okay, all those things, my grace is sufficient for you. And he may give your list back to you and you open back up. He said, okay, number one, God, I don't get that. My grace is sufficient for you. God, I don't understand number two. That was a big one. My grace is sufficient for you. Well, I want to answer. My grace is sufficient for you. Okay, we're going to skip number three, God. That's kind of whiny. But number four, that was tough. That was a long time. My grace is sufficient for you. Okay, forget it. I'm going all the way down to number 12. Because that's the one that's happening right now. I pleaded with you to take this away. It's still here. I don't get it. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. That weakness you wrote there, that thing that's going on, my power is being made perfect right there. If you'll find it. As a matter of fact, the greater the weakness, the greater the power. The greater the weakness, the more sufficient the grace. That we simply keep going in him. Because here's the thing. You can get mad and separate from him, but you still have the thorn. It's still there. And you just walked out of his grace, and you walked away from the power that would be made perfect in it anyways. If you would just stay with him. See, that's the encouragement today. It's really easy. Really simple. How many of you, honest moment right here, you could count something in your life that you consider a thorn in your flesh? Let me, anybody in the house? Everybody raise your hand up. I want everybody to look around. That's almost everybody here. Holy smokes, there's a lot of thorns in here. My goodness. Not you, but the thing in your life. Not you. God's grace is sufficient for you. Amen. It's sufficient. Amen. Look, you are going to make it. You are. Because his power is being made perfect right in that thing you raised your hand about. It's there. And he's going to sustain you till he takes it away. He's going to sustain you till the season of your life changes. He's going to sustain you until your perspective changes. He's going to sustain you. Amen. Don't give up. Don't get mad. Take your frustrations to him. Let your frustrations cause you to turn from him. God is going to get you there. Now, I'm going to say a word that I don't say a lot because I don't like to say it. But God's going to get you there, I promise. I don't promise a lot. I promise. You know why I promise? Because in my Bible, that is red letter stuff. Jesus said it. Therefore, I believe. Therefore, I build my life on it. And I will, listen to me, I will not be moved. Amen. I believe. Amen? Amen? Here's what I'd like you to do. We've got a couple more minutes before we close up. But I'd like you, and I'm not going to have you stand up right now. We will in a moment. But I want you personally to take a couple minutes with you and Jesus about this thorn in your flesh. You may have pleaded with the Lord a lot more than three times about this. Maybe a whole bunch of times. But here right now, I want you once again first to cast it upon him, cast your cares upon him, and ask him for resolve of this in your life. Because we believe. And I want you to thank him for hearing your prayer. And I want you to thank him for responding to you. But when you're done with that, just say, I just know your grace is sufficient. And I know your power is going to be made perfect in this. Okay? So do that. Cast that thing upon him. In Jesus' name. Now I pray the Holy Spirit is here among us. I pray the Holy Spirit is moving in this place. In Jesus' name. Lord, that you hear us today. You hear us as we cast these cares upon you. You know of it. There's nothing new to you. But you want us to draw near to you. Lord, I thank you that in all of these things you are working for our good. I pray in all of these things that we realize that you haven't forgotten about us. You haven't left us. Thank you. Oh, Jesus. Lord, draw near to our hearts today. Draw near. For you are wonderful and you are good. The good shepherd, our good father. Yes, you're taking the mess of our lives and making something wonderful. Thank you. Oh, Jesus. Now, is there anybody here you are just simply discouraged today? I know we just cast our cares upon him. Anybody here, is anybody here discouraged? Let me see. Raise your hand. I feel the prayer. Anybody else? Your heart is discouraged. Okay, thank you, buddy. Anybody else? Okay. If we could all stand to our feet, please. If you raised your hand up, come down here. I want to pray with you. Just be bold. Come on down. It's all right. We're a family of faith. We come to join together. Come on over, bud. If I could get some Monday night prayer people, if you come down and jump behind those that are standing down here. In Jesus' name. Everybody just pray with me, okay, as we pray over these folks. Let's just join together in prayer for them in Jesus' name. let's all just raise our hands up, and before we go, just worship him for a moment. We praise you today, Jesus, and we worship you. Your name is high above all things. And once again, we commit our hearts to you, and we commit our lives to you, to walk with you, to follow you, to be guided by you in all things. That our hearts and our minds are turned towards you in everything. We live according to your word, your direction. And that for each one of us, your kingdom is being built in us. And I thank you for that, Lord. I praise you for that. In Jesus' name. Is there anybody here, your heart is far from God? You've wandered off the path. Maybe you've never asked for the forgiveness of your sins. Maybe you've never counted Jesus as Lord of your life. Listen, in him is abundant life. It's salvation. It is all things being made new. Anybody that needs to commit your heart to him today? Let me see real quick before we let out. Nobody? Good. In one sense, I think good. In another sense, I think I hope. Amen? Don't leave today if your heart is far from him. Amen? Amen. All right, I'm going to close up right there. Amen. Amen. How about this? Love on somebody as you go today. We'll see you Wednesday night. We'll continue to talk about faith in Hebrews 11. Bring a friend next Sunday.